Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of our Never Alone Faith Over Cancer podcast. Hi, I'm Blaine Millett, and I'm your host for our podcast channel. And again, I just want to say thank you for taking time to join us today. I really appreciate you giving us some of your time. And I hope what I'm able to share with you today just makes your day a little bit brighter and a little bit happier. So today, I wanted to dive into part three of my personal cancer journey story and talk a little bit about kind of three things, my surgery, what prayer really did for me, and at the end of it, just share with you how I was able to get some amazing peace through my journey. And so the morning of my surgery, you know, as they were wheeling me into the operating room, I remember thinking one thing: what exactly is going to happen to my bladder since I had bladder cancer? And this is part of my story is critical because, you know, it's where God really showed up for me during the very difficult times and continued to give me more hope and encouragement, but most of all, peace in this scenario. So let me continue with what happened next. I canceled the other surgery with the doctor we didn't like and was now on track to have Dr. Lynn perform my surgery. Prayers were answered is all I can say with that one. And I still have to pinch myself when I tell you this because it's still so incredible to see how God orchestrated this entire journey to have me in surgery with Dr. Lynn instead of the other doctor. Truly amazing and a massive blessing for my family and, of course, for me. But the big day had come and, you know, I'm finally got to hopefully, get this monster tumor the size of an orange out of my bladder. And, you know, based on the size, Dr. Lynn explained that the surgery could take up to probably 3 hours. And the procedure was incredibly brilliant and could only be performed with today's technology, I'll tell you that. I won't go into all the details, but suffice it to say, you know, it's just incredible what they can do today that was never possible even a few years ago. And mine was one of those that could utilize some of the amazing advances in technology. So my wife and one of my daughters were in the waiting room when I went in for surgery. And to make a long story short, it didn't take 3 hours. It took over 4 hours. It was so invasive and extensive that it took almost 50% longer than projected. You know, and I know they were worried something might have gone wrong, you know, but they kept praying for really good results. In fact, afterwards, they told me about an incident that almost put my wife and daughter over the edge. You know, while it was well past the 3 hour mark, they kept hearing this announcement over the loudspeaker about a code blue in the surgery center. Not a good thing to hear if you've got somebody in surgery. And this is a serious code. And of course, since I had gone over my allotted time in surgery, they began to worry that maybe this was for me and something had gone wrong in my surgery. You know, fortunately, it wasn't code blue for me, and mine was just taking a lot longer than was planned. But I find it interesting how our minds work in these situations. And even when, you know, we know God is with us and for us, as we, you know, read in Romans 8:31, it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" That's one of my favorite verses. But God is always with us, and he's always for us. Yet in our minds, we drift off into this, what I have is kind of a famous acronym called FUD, F-U-D, which is short for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And regardless of how strong of a believer you are, this still creeps in. And I know it did for my wife and daughters hearing a code blue call during, you know, my extended time in surgery. And the best thing we can do in that moment, in my opinion, is pray. And pray hard. You know, he is with us. And if we don't switch to prayer, it just consumes us. It's just human nature to worry and have FUD. But giving it to God can be a FUD killer. That's probably a fun little phrase, a FUD killer. But one of my two big God moments happened just as I was about to fall asleep on the operating table. I remember when I was on the table that all I could think about was that God had gotten me here through all of this up to this point with His miracles, connecting me with Dr. Lynn, all the things that happened along the way. So as I laid there, I just needed to trust Him the rest of the way. And then I drifted off to sleep. And I just remember going to sleep thinking only positive thoughts about Jesus having me and that whatever happened, it was His plan. Not that I wanted something bad to happen, mind you, but, you know, I was completely at peace that He had me and He had a plan in mind for me. If so, why, you know, how did all these things happen up till now if He didn't have a plan for me? So who am I to question anything at this point? You know, He had me and He had a plan. I just needed to go through it and see what it would end up being. So, you know, before I go on, I want to speak directly to your family and caregivers for just a moment. Because while I was being operated on and in total peace with where things were, and that Jesus was with me and watching over me, my wife and daughter were nervous about what was going on with me. And I think this is a key point on many of our journeys. While the patient may be at peace, like us, not everyone is at peace at the same time. We all deal with things differently, and it doesn't mean one person is a stronger believer or more of a Christian than any other person, in my opinion anyway. It just means we process differently and we experience things differently. For example, you know, in my case, you know, I'm a logical one in the family, and I can analyze things, good or bad, and come to a conclusion. My wife's the emotional and relational person in the family. She wears her heart on her sleeve and lets everyone know it. And I definitely need more of that and really respect that about her. But that can also really eat you up if you let it. And she had over 4 hours to deal with all these emotions of what could happen while I was asleep. And even though she's a strong believer in Jesus, there are thoughts that get into your heads that we don't want in there, but get in there anyway. It's normal and probably expected. And if you are going through a cancer journey and, you know, you've got friends and family around, I'm sure you can relate to what I'm saying here. Your emotions can sometimes get the best of you. They do for all of us at different times. And even if you are a strong believer, it doesn't mean these thoughts can't enter your mind. They do. It's just the way it works. And in many cases, you know, we may be talking about someone's life that takes things to an entirely different level. It's real and it's hard to reconcile, but it's there. So I talk about this for a minute because, you know, I don't want anyone here to think that if they're a believer, they shouldn't have any negative or worrying thoughts about what's going on. We do. It's human nature. And in a fallen world, you know, we definitely will have those thoughts creeping into our minds. So, you know, my advice is just don't beat yourself or your loved ones up for this. It's human and it's natural. And I often hear people saying things like, well, I shouldn't have been thinking or I shouldn't have been doubting, you know, anything going on because I know God is with us through all of it. I just need to give it all to Him and have peace about it. Well, I'm here to offer that I don't believe this is the case. I don't believe that just because we have worrying, fearful, doubting, or negative thoughts, we're any less of a believer. I think it's totally human and that God knows we will have these thoughts. The fact that we recognize they're there and then we pray that He will help us through, get through all this, it's not just normal. It's growing as a follower of Jesus, in my opinion. It's part of our growing process as believers. And I believe that we need to experience doubt, uncertainty, and fear, that FUD factor I talked about, and a host of other thoughts, and then offer them up to God to help us through them. That's when He can do His best work. He can comfort us, and ultimately, He can give us the peace. He's the only one that can give us peace. So if we didn't go through these, how would we ever know the true meaning of peace? It's kind of like, you know, if you never got hurt, how would you know pain? You wouldn't, because you would never have experienced the extremes of pain and healing. And I believe this is exactly the same thing as God's peace. If we don't if we didn't have all the emotions that are the opposite of peace, we would never know or understand what peace is or how truly incredibly awesome it is when you have it. I hope this kind of makes sense, as I talk about it. It's just something that is on my mind when I, share this part of my journey with you, because so often we beat ourselves up and our caregivers beat themselves up. And, it's all part of the plan. And God knows it's a way that will also help strengthen us and our belief and everything that we do for His glory. And for the record, by the way, my wife was and is one of the most incredible and dedicated believers I've ever met. When I was a lukewarm Christian, she always took the lead in making things happen and staying true to her faith in Jesus. She was our rock for many years, and I will always be grateful to her for that. It definitely has a key part of getting me to where I am today. Because really, without her strength, I wouldn't have found mine. She was there throughout everything, from the waiting room to the hospital room. So when I finished the surgery and was taken up to my room in the hospital, I remember that there was a lot going on in that room, more than I would have thought would be normal. But I guess I had lost a lot of blood as well, so I was a little more out of it than I realized. So getting me stable was their key focus. For me, I was taking it all in and thankful to be out of surgery, not knowing anything about what had really happened. But that afternoon, when Dr. Lynn came back into the room to talk to my wife and me, it started to get a little bit more real. In fact, it got a little bit scary. In fact, it got a lot scary. He told us the surgery went well, but he didn't think he got it all. It was a monster tumor, and there's only so much they can do on an initial surgery. And they already went 50% over the time, so it definitely was beyond what they had expected. So he says, I think I got about 90 to 95% of it out, but he'd have to wait to see what it looked like and decide when to go back in and remove the rest. And that sounded fine. But the biggest issue he had, which was really where it got scary for all of us, was when he said he wasn't sure yet whether or not he would be able to save my bladder. Like, wait, what? This wasn't in the plan. What did that mean exactly? How do you function without a bladder? How would that change my life? My mind immediately went into the dark side of things, and all I could envision was spending the rest of my life walking around with a bag or something around without my bladder. I mean, I'm a very active person, and now I was envisioning all that being gone, and I'm walking, now I'm like a walking zombie, because I can't really do the things I normally would do without a bladder. How would I play with the kids and future grandkids with this bag or whatever it was? How would I go for long hikes and other activities? The thoughts were continuous and relentless. This wasn't good. And I had so many more questions than we had answers for at that moment. And he talked through different scenarios, and none of them sounded like really something I would want. I just wanted to keep my bladder. I needed to keep my bladder. And now it came down to one simple question. Was the cancer so large that it penetrated the muscle wall of the bladder? If it did, then the bladder would have to come out. But if it didn't, then it could probably stay. Everything hinged on the results of this one test. So this is where I personally started praying really hard and asking Him to save it. And as a relatively new born-again kind of Christian, this isn't how I wanted to start out my newfound faith. You think it's going to be a yellow brick road and pretty easy. But, Lori, my wife, was the real prayer warrior. She not only prayed hard, but also rallied many other people in our churches to do so. She was relentless when it came to praying specifically that I could keep my bladder and that the cancer didn't go into the muscle wall. And she was, once again, that rock in action, making this happen while I lay in the hospital. And the power of prayer was so fast at work, and everybody was on it. But again, maybe it was because I was still a bit out of things. I also had some peace about it. Sometimes I wondered if I was just giving up or if I really had peace? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Was I giving up or did I really have peace? And this is really where my second God moment came about. Was I at that state where I was just giving up because of being so beat up from surgery and the aftermath of that? Or was I really at peace with what God was doing? I don't know if I can honestly answer that even today. All I know is that I wasn't freaked out over what was going on. And, you know, and I'm truly hoping it was having true peace in the situation. But if I am being completely truthful with you now and completely honest, I don't know. I still don't know. But I believe that's okay. Do I really need to know? Do I have to know with all certainty it was God or me giving up? I don't think so. Here's why. In my mind, either way is what God wants me to do. For example, if I were so beat up from surgery that I didn't care, wasn't I really surrendering where I was? And when we surrender, God is there to catch us. He knows we can't fight and win every battle, far from it. He knows we will reach our lowest points more than once in our lives, and He is there to catch us when we reach them. It wasn't really that I didn't care or was giving up. I was just surrendering because I had nothing more to fight with. And I think many of us get to this point in our cancer journeys. We need to not be in control of everything, but surrender it to God. And on the other hand, if I were at total peace with God, then didn't I do exactly the same thing, surrender? You know, peace in my mind comes from surrender and trust. If we truly trust God and give it to Him, surrendering our situation, isn't that really what peace is all about? I think so. And so in my situation, whether I was beat up from the surgery or I was at peace with where I was, both were a result of that big word, surrendering. Surrendering it to God and letting Him take control. You know, I hope this kind of resonates with you because this is a key part of my journey and perhaps yours. Surrender isn't giving up. You know, people say, oh, wave white flag. No, surrender is not giving up. It's giving it up to the one who ultimately is in control of everything, God. In my mind, surrendering is a victory because we finally realize who is ultimately in control and who should be in control of our situation. I'm really hoping you feel that same way. And I think there's times in our lives where this is really the case, outside of our cancer journey even. Is it that we have given up or that we have peace in those moments when we are calm? There are times I don't know the answer to that question, and maybe not, and you may not either. I don't know if it matters. I think if we give given up, God is there to pick us up. After all, we are never alone, and He has us, regardless of where we are. So, you know, while it sounds better that we are at peace, there are times when I feel like I've given up, but He still has me. And His job now is to help me move out of that pit and into peace. He can do that. And He has done that so many times with me, countless times. Something to think about. You know, I for sure don't have all the answers to these questions, but I'm pretty sure many of you are asking the same ones as well. I'm just being honest and transparent with you and letting you know I've been there. You may be there now. And if you are, I can tell you one thing for certain. God has you, and you just need to let Him show you the way to peace. That's our job. Let Him lead the way, and we follow. You know, I wish I could tell you this was my final outcome of my cancer journey, but it was clear my journey was still in the very beginning stages with a lot more to go through and before crossing my finish line, which would definitely be a few years down the road. But there are so many lessons I learned that I hope will help you along your journey. You know, there's no question that without my faith and many other people's faith and prayer around me, this would have been an incredibly difficult journey and maybe a very different outcome. Faith absolutely, positively wins out over cancer, regardless of our outcomes. Having faith doesn't guarantee the outcome. It just makes the journey much better and easier to handle. And where do you turn if you don't have Jesus in your life? Doctors? Or some other source of inspiration? I believe all these are guided by God. He is at the center of everything. I know He led me to Dr. Lin and guided him during my surgery as well. Having that level of faith was so incredibly important to me in my journey, knowing God was directing it all. And if He was directing it, how could I doubt anything going on? You know, He didn't promise me everything would be smooth and easy, as He said in the Bible in John 16, 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, this verse alone is really a core for me, and I'm hoping it is for you as well. You know, and as I've said throughout my journey, peace comes from surrender and trust. How much did I really trust Him? If I am really, embracing this verse, I need to surrender everything, not just a few things, everything. And I have to trust that He's got me through it all, through everything, not some of it, but through it all. So when I can do this, and perhaps you as well, that's when we get true and lasting peace. So if I were going to do this, when it was convenient, I would never have true and lasting peace. But if I could keep reminding myself of this, I knew I would be on the road to lasting peace. It's pretty comforting in my book. So as my journey continues, I wish I could tell you I was prepared for all of it, but I wasn't, as I'm sure you aren't. There is so much that goes on in a cancer journey. Every day seems like a new hill to climb and a new adventure. I felt like the days were incredibly long and it made me feel like this might not ever end. The road was long, and if I stopped and thought about how long it was or how long it could be, it was pretty disheartening. To be honest, it did feel overwhelming. But I can share one piece of advice as I close this out with you. And it would be this. Our journeys are never really just one day at a time. I messed that one up. Our journeys are really just one day at a time. And He tells us very clearly and directly that exact thing in Matthew 6:34, where He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Boy, amen to that. I have had enough trouble in each and every one of my days of my cancer journey. And Jesus is with us every step, every hour, every day. He never leaves our side. We are never alone. And once I was truly able to get that into my logical thinking brain, I knew I had a chance. I can't say I knew what it was going to look like or feel like, but I knew I wasn't alone. And I knew He was with me, and I needed to take it one day at a time, and He would see me through the journey, whether it was a week, a month, a year, 5 years, whatever it may be. I knew He was with me every day, all the way through my journey. So I want to thank you again for taking time and joining, me as I share more about my journey and my faith. I hope this has given you not only some more details of my journey, but more insights into how I believe God is working with us and on us throughout our journeys. There's a lot more to come, and I will continue to be honest, transparent, authentic, and just tell you what was going on in my journey and how I came through it and how God was with me every step of the way and how He guided me through all of my ups and downs. So, for now, I just wish you all the best and hope you have an incredible day. And until next time, may God bless you.